I imagine most of you have, at some point in your lives, looked through binoculars or maybe a telescope or a microscope. And undoubtedly, a situation has arisen where, as you look through, what you're trying to see is just a little blurry. You know, it's not crisp and clear. So what do you do? What's your natural reaction to that? Well, you're going to change the focus, right? But what happens if you change the focus in the wrong direction? It just becomes blurrier, and you can't even tell what you're looking at. No, you need to change the focus in the correct direction. And when you do that, what happens? You start to see things more clearly. You have a better understanding of what it is that you're looking at. Well, our lives are kind of like that, aren't they? We live in a society that is not properly focused, and they don't understand what lies ahead. It's not clear to them. But we, on the other hand, have been shown how to correct that by using God's law to help us focus our lives. Psalm 119 reinforces focusing our lives through God's law. Or, as a side note here, we're going to be turning there frequently, so if you want to put a bookmark in Psalm 119, you've been fairly warned. So, Psalm 119 reinforces focusing our lives through God's law. How does God's law help us focus on what lies ahead and lead us in the right direction? Well, the first thing we want to take a look at is that the law actually changes our focus. As we look around in our society, what do we see that people focus their lives on? There could be any number of things, right, that could keep a person's interest. Things like politics, sports, video games, entertainment, social media. I'm sure you can come up with any number of other things that people focus their lives on. And it's not necessarily wrong to have these interests. But are these the things that we are to focus on? Are these the things that we set as our priorities? See, we find in Psalm 119, and let's go ahead and turn over there for our first verse for that. Psalm 119 and verse 37. What we find in Psalm 119 is that when we change our focus to the law, we begin to see what is truly of value, and following God's law leads us to true life. Psalm 119, verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Let's take a look at that. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. You see, with God's help, our focus is turned away from vanity, from worthless, useless things that have no eternal value. We're well aware that Satan uses devices and distractions to take our focus away from God's law. So we have to ask ourselves, especially this time of year, what is the focus of our lives? What do we set our eyes on? What are we reaching for? What are we striving to achieve? Prior to God opening our eyes, where was our focus? It was on ourselves, wasn't it? It was on what the world has to offer us. What does the world owe me? We see that attitude a lot, don't we? And we've seen this before. Familiar with it, but let's take a quick look at John chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. John gives us a good reminder of where our focus should be, what we set as our priorities. Here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Regardless of whether we were called into God's church or we've grown up in it, we have to recognize that left to ourselves, our focus would be on ourselves, not on God's way of life. And where does that lead us? If we're focusing on ourselves, if we're focusing on things of this world, where does that lead us? I mean, think about it. You probably find this true, too. The longer you examine something, the more accustomed you are to it, the more time you spend with it, the more you contemplate it, you start finding it more and more acceptable, right? Oh, yeah, that's normal. But is it normal in God's eyes? When you compare these things to His law, should it be acceptable? Should it be something that we focus on? If we continue to focus our desires on the things of this world, that is what becomes our goal. That becomes the direction of our lives instead of following God's law. And we have a good example of this. Consider the example of Achan as the account we see back in Joshua. Let's go ahead and turn there. In Joshua chapter 7, we see the account of Achan. And what happened? What happened to Achan as they were engaged in the battle of Ai? Instead of being intent on God's instructions, he set his sight on his own desires. And we see the account as he's answering Joshua. We see that account in Joshua chapter 7. And we'll look at verses 20 and 21. What does Achan say here in Joshua 7, verses 20 and 21? And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." He lost his focus. God had given them specific instructions and he lost his focus on those instructions and he was looking at the lust of the eyes, the lust of the world, because he saw all these beautiful things and that valuable metals. What did he gain by following his own desires? His focus, his pursuit of what he wanted for himself, led to death. So how do we gain the right focus so that God's laws are interwoven in our lives? We see here in verse 119, verse 37, what we need, which is to go to God earnestly, asking Him for help in turning away from these distractions, from turning our focus away from worthless things and onto things that have eternal value, God's law, His way, and how that applies to our lives. Let's look at the second part of verse 37 here, because it's another request that we make of God. We need to have God revive us in His way. And what does revive mean? It means to give life again. Now, we know our physical life are only temporary, and the older we get, I think the more glad we are of that as we have all these aches and pains and stuff. But while physically alive, we do not yet have eternal life. There is no immortal soul within us. And the theme of asking God for life is consistent throughout Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 40. We see that again in Psalm 119, verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Give me life. The life that comes from your righteousness, God, not from my desires. We know that eternal life comes only from God, and it can't happen if we're not focused on His ways, if we're not trying to live by His laws. Psalm 119 and verse 25. Similar thing. Psalm 119 verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. We are physical beings. Our lives are rooted in dust. We were formed from it, and we will return to it. The only way we will experience true, eternal life is through God and living by His word. We have to have the right focus to give us that right goal. Looking to eternity, not to this world, which will be passing away. So as we get the right focus, as we focus our lives through the lens of God's law, how does that change things in our lives? Well, for one thing, when we have this focus, it changes our perception. Changing our focus to God's law gives us a different perception about how His law works, how it applies, and it's a totally different perception than what we see how the world around us perceives God's law. Let's take a look at that in Psalm 119, and this time in verse 18. Again, it's another plea to God for help, to teach us to focus on His law. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. What we see here first is the request to open my eyes. Help me actually see what's out there. To see what's right, to see what's wrong, to be able to distinguish the difference. But why do our eyes need to be opened? Well, under Satan's influence, humanity continues to rebel against God, and they've been blinded to understanding the truth about God's law. God's way of life is viewed as out of date, too restrictive, no longer relevant. It was only for the ancient Israelites. It doesn't apply today. And we have to face the fact that day in and day out, that attitude is all around us. And that pressure continues to work against us to try to keep us from focusing on God's law, to keep us from having the perception about His law that God has opened our eyes to. Because it's only God who can open our eyes to move us past this flawed perception and to understand the wondrous things concerning His way of life and the promises that He's set before us. God has given us His written word and sent us His servants that we may begin to understand, that we can begin to change our perception as to what He is showing us. Let me just read to you Psalm 19 and verse 8. Psalm 19 and verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Our eyes are enlightened. They're opened. And Paul talks about this too. Let's go ahead and take a look at that over here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 17 and 18. Paul understands the need to have our focus on God's law, to have our perceptions changed and our eyes opened. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Breaking into the context of the sentence here, Paul writes, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Paul talks about our eyes being enlightened and open to understand what God is teaching us, what He's showing us, how He's changing our perception of who He is. We can never see the wondrous things that God has in store for us on our own. We've been blinded by Satan until the time that God started to work with us to open our minds, to open our eyes, to help us to understand. And as our eyes are opened, as we focus on that law, we change our perspective from the natural to the spiritual world. And we begin to see how wonderful and how important it is that God's way is interwoven in our lives. Let me read to you from Psalm 119 and verse 27. Psalm 119, verse 27. Make me understand the ways of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. And then again, let me read to you from Psalm 145 and verse 5. Psalm 145, verse 5. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Prior to God opening our eyes and changing our focus and changing our perception, we didn't see the wondrous things that He's doing and that He has in store. But as our eyes are open to living the God's law, we can begin to recognize and to think about how wondrous His works really are. I mean, we can see the awesome design of His physical creation. You look around you, look at the various vastness of the universe down to the quantum level and the complexity and the intricacy of the design that God has made. And it's beyond our mind's ability to understand it. But it is wondrous that we know. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God is doing that. But beyond the physical creation, think about what God is doing with us spiritually. Through His Holy Spirit, we can start to understand the wondrous work that He is doing with each one of us personally on a spiritual basis. Paul talks about that over here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. We'll look at verses 12 through 14. Paul shows us the wondrous works that God is doing with us on a spiritual level. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 14. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Think about the perception that this world has concerning God's law. It's no longer relevant. It's out of date. It's not for us. But because God is working with us through His Spirit, we understand. We have this different perception. And we understand what He's doing with us. We start to understand the spirit world and what that means. We can see how our perceptions change as our focus is centered more on God's law and not on the ways of this world. So as we gain this focus, and as we reach this new perception, where does that lead us? What does that do for us? How does it affect in how we live our lives? What it does is that this focus, this new perception, gives us a different direction to take in our lives, a different path. We're no longer on the path that leads away from God. We're on a path that leads toward God. And that is what repentance is, right? It's turning. Turning away from what we used to be and turning back to God to become more like Him, to draw closer to Him. This is what the focus does for us. This is what our perceptions do. One of the things that we notice with a new focus and this new perspective is the desire to see deeper into the meaning of God's law. That's one of the things that it does for us. And we see that in Psalm 119 and verse 15. What do we see? How does it change our lives? Psalm 119 and verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts. I want to think about them. I'm going to consider them. How do I apply those in my life? I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. And why do we contemplate God's ways? Because we want to compare our ways to His ways to see how we need to change. We can achieve that as we desire to dive more deeply into the meaning of God's law, into the meaning of His word as He reveals it to us, so that we can change. So that we can find that new direction and take it, the direction that leads us to God. So as we start to respect God's law, and as we look into it, we see how we can live by His instructions. His instructions, His ways, not our own desires. And how does that happen? It happens because the strength of God's Holy Spirit is working within us, guiding us, leading us, teaching us, to the point where we can be confident of what God is doing with us, of the wondrous work He's doing within each one of us. And we see that in Psalm 119. And verse 117, there's a confidence here of being focused on God's law. Psalm 119, verses 117. Hold me up and I shall be safe. I shall observe your statutes continually. Day in, day out, every facet of our lives needs to be focused through God's law. And to do that, we must continually seek to find and understand a deeper meaning of God's law. But we can only do that as we change our focus to His ways and away from ours. So that's one thing that this new perception does and change the direction of our lives, is that we desire to understand the deeper meaning of God's Word. Secondly, we come to understand that it's God's law that guides our path. It's His law that we strive to observe and to live by, and how we should lead our lives. And when we follow that way, we begin to notice that there are blessings that come to us. Sometimes blessings that we aren't even necessarily aware of, but living by God's ways, focus on His law, there are blessings. Let's go back to the beginning of Psalm 119. And we'll start in verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. That's a promise. We can count on that. It's clearly stated here in God's Word. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. And who are those? Those who walk in the law of the Lord. How do you walk in the law of the Lord if you aren't focused on it? So yeah, we want to focus our lives on that. And then again, here in Psalm 119, dropping down to verses 5 and 6. Psalm 119, verses 5 and 6. As our perceptions about God's law change, we see a new desire, a new goal of how we live our lives, how we direct our lives. Psalm 119 and verses 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. We find, as we focus on God's law, that we want God to direct our paths, to help us keep His statutes, to live by His law, so that we are not ashamed by what we do. The Hebrew for the translated as to keep here in verse 5 means to keep, which seems obvious, but it also means to guard, to observe, to give heed to. When we look to God's commands and we keep them, we guard them, we hold them close, we don't want anybody to take that from us. We give heed to them. We observe them. When we look to God's commandments and keep them like this, we see that there is only one way, one direction that our lives should be taking. And we see that reinforced here again in Psalm 25 and verses 2 through 5. As we look at Psalm 25 verses 2 through 5, what do we see here? It's a plea to God But a plea made in confidence, knowing what God has promised and what He will do to those, for those who are living by His law. Psalm 25, verses 2 to 5. Oh my God, I trust in You. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on You be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me Your ways, O Lord. Teach me Your paths. Lead me in Your truth and teach me. For You are the God of my salvation. On You I wait all the day. There's this desire to know God's ways, to be taught, to learn them more deeply, to understand them so that they will show us the path that we need to take in our own lives. Because as we dig more deeply into it, as we look into God's ways, we realize that He's the one who must direct our paths. I know personally, and for many of us, there have been many times we've tried to direct our own paths. Sometimes it works, but other times, boy, that was a mistake. But when we let God direct our paths, when we beseech Him and ask Him to teach us, show us this way, show us this path, help us be on it. When we take that action and we live in such a way of following His laws, focusing on that, we will ultimately receive the gift of eternal life from God. Now, sadly, Satan has blinded us in certain ways, and not only were we not able to see the goal that God has now opened our minds to, we couldn't even comprehend what the path is. How do you get to the right goal if you don't know how to get there? You don't know the way to get there. But God has opened our eyes to that. He's given us an understanding. He's been teaching us, helping us to know. Now, at best, maybe, we could hope to stumble around. We might perceive the pathway in part, because God has made His Word available. And a lot of people see it and understand parts of it. But because God hasn't opened their mind to the whole thing, they don't understand the correct path. The one path that leads to God. And without God, it's a hopeless situation. There's no way we can comprehend the path, no way we can comprehend what that goal is without God showing us and without fully heeding His words in the direction that we need to be taking. We have to replace our ways and be directed in His ways. Only then, when that happens, can we hope to succeed. Can we reach that goal that He has shown us and set before us? And to do that requires that we fully live and walk by His law. We have to follow every instruction, because to waver ultimately will take us in the wrong direction. If you waver instead of continuing straight on, eventually you're going to go off to the left or off to the right, but you're not going to get where you need to be. Proverbs reminds us of this in chapter 4 and verses 24 through 27. Proverbs 24 through 27 is a strong reminder to keep focused on God's law, to keep focused on His way. Proverbs 4, verse 24 through 27. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. It says, let all your ways be established. Not established by us, established by God. As we focus on His law, we see the path that we need to be on. And we look straight ahead. We don't go to the left. We don't go to the right. We remove our foot from evil. Any path that is not leading us to God is a path of evil. So our path is established by God through focusing on His law. And the instructions to follow God's guidance and His ways have been consistent throughout human history, but Satan has blinded people to it. But it's here. God opens our minds, and it's still valid for us today. And Paul clearly states that that is the case, that is true. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, what does Paul say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5? Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patience of Christ. Who's directing us? Are we leading ourselves? No, our desire is to have God direct us, to keep us on the right path, to bring us into the love of God and the patience of Christ. Going back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 gives us a strong reminder that we have to let God direct our path so that we don't veer off in the wrong direction. Psalm 119, verse 59. Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. And isn't that what we should be doing? As we think about our ways, as we examine our lives, and we realize in those areas that we are not yet in alignment with God, what do? We turn our feet to His testimonies, to His path. Because we've thought about our ways and we think, uh-oh, that needs to change. And again in Psalm 119, this time in verse 101. Psalm 119, verse 101. I have restrained my feet from every evil way. Why? That I may keep your word, to observe it, to guard it, to hold it close, to be focused on that so that I am on the right path. God's law is what gives us direction and guides our path. The third thing that we want to look at here is, as we have this new focus and this new perception, that God's law keeps us from stumbling. So as we receive direction from God, His law also helps us as we traverse the path that He set for us. Because, you know, you can be on a path, but it doesn't do you any good to be on the path and not moving. A path goes somewhere, right? So we need to be traversing that path that He set for us. But again, Satan and society that he rules, that we see around us, everywhere. He doesn't want us to follow God's path. He doesn't want us walking in that way. And so, things come at us. Things that could easily cause us to trip up. And to be caught up in the way that this world thinks. That's not what we want. And God promises to help us avoid this. Let's turn it over to the Gospel of John. And as we look at part of what Jesus was telling his disciples that evening, John chapter 15, we'll start there, John chapter 15 and verses 26 and 27. What does he tell them? But when the Helper comes, which I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, it will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And why is he telling them this? John chapter 16 and verse 1. John 16 verse 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. God's teaching us so that we can be sure-footed as we traverse the path that he's set for us. Now, it's interesting here, the word stumble in John 16:1 is translated from a root word that is translated in English as scandalize. It's derived from a word that the Septuagint uses in Psalm 119 and verse 165. Let me just read that to you. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. We love God's law, and we live by that. We're not going to be scandalized. We're not going to stumble. There, in talking about this Greek word, states that one meaning of the word is to entice to sin. This means that if we love God's law, and if we rely on the strength of His Holy Spirit to keep us on the right path, then we will not be enticed to sin. Or in other words, we're not going to be scandalized by doing something wrong. If you live by God's law fully, you're not going to sin. You're not going to be scandalized. And when we believe God, and when we love His law, we are given the confidence that we need to face the turmoil that we will encounter in this world. It's not an easy path that we're on. But the light from God's word will keep us from stumbling as we walk along that path that He has set before us. We can see where we're going. We can be sure-footed, knowing God is showing us the correct way. Proverbs talks about this. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 21 through 23. Let's look at these instructions here. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. The light from God's word shows us where to walk, so that we can walk sure-footed and not stumble, and not be enticed to sin, to waver off to the left or the right away from the path that He set for us. When we love God's law and live by it, we have peace because we don't have to fear being brought to ruin. Because if we're following God, no matter what happens in this life, we will not be brought to ruin. Exactly the opposite. We will be brought to life, eternal life. And finally, as the focus on God's law gives us direction, we see the path, but we also know that we have to walk the path, as we've alluded to already. So focusing on God's law directs us on how to walk in our lives. When we follow His word, we're careful to observe how we walk so that we can stay on the path that He's shown us. And Psalm 119, no surprise, helps us to understand how to do that. So when we think of our ways and we compare them to God's law and His way of life, we realize that there really is only one course to follow. There's only one path that leads to God. And it's not the course that we would have chosen for ourselves. As good as our intentions may have been, ultimately, our ways are not God's ways. And so we have to change. We have to learn, focusing on His law, to understand how our lives need to change. So how do I know if my path is actually the right direction and I'm walking where I need to be walking? Am I on the correct path? Am I following the light, shining on a path, the light that comes from God's Word? Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's the light we have to follow. As we're looking straight ahead and we're, as it said, our eyelids looking down to make sure that we are walking, stepping on the right path. But you know, there are times when we might think, oh yeah, I'm doing this right here. Only discover later, no, actually I wasn't, I made a mistake. If we're not focused on God's law, we could end up following the wrong light. Because there are plenty of counterfeits out there which want to deceive us and to lead us off that path. You know, it kind of reminds me of a story I heard once. There was a guy coming home, driving in his car, and it was a dark night. But to make it even worse, is one of those nights is really, really foggy. To the point where he practically couldn't even see the road. And thinking, well, I know the way back home, but I can't see the path I'm on. He's actually getting to the point where he's considering, maybe I need to pull over. But then all of a sudden, he sees some taillights up ahead. And they're going in the same direction. Ah! I know what I'll do. I'll follow him. And so he does. He's following along. He's watching these taillights and he's very intent on it. Because it's still really, really foggy. And there are a couple turns here and there, but he's still following. Still confident that he's on the right path. Things seem to be going well until all of a sudden the car in front of him stops. And he's so intent on following that he didn't have enough time to react, and he actually bumps into the car in front of him. He's like, why did this guy do this? So he gets out of his car, and he goes up, and he asks the guy, why did you stop so suddenly? And the guy tells him, I'm in my garage. Where were you going? To reach the goal that God sets for us, we need to follow Him, not someone else. We don't follow humans. It doesn't matter whether it's family, friends, or ministers. No, we need to follow Jesus Christ and delight from His Word. If we don't know where we're walking, we could stumble. If we don't know where we're going, we risk becoming lost. So we see additional reminders that we need to focus on the light given by God's Word. And let's take a look at a couple of those reminders. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. Proverbs 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And then again in Psalm 43 and verse 3. This desire to be focused and to understand. Psalm 43, verse 3. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Follow the right light. Don't get lost. Don't follow anything else, because you won't end up where you think you're going to be going. So once we're shown the correct way, then we have to act on it. We have to walk in that way. And to truly live according to God's way, we must stay on the path lighted by His Word. Psalm 119 and verse 130. It's a reminder. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. There are things we know now that we did not know before, because the light of God's Word has shown us His way. So we have to restrain from taking any step in the ways of this world. We must stay on the path that God sets before us. If we try to follow any other path, even though it may appear to be going the right direction, we could suddenly find ourselves where we never intended it to be, like in somebody else's garage. Finally, Proverbs chapter 1. And verses 15 to 16. Proverbs 1, 15 to 16. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Any path of this world is a path of evil. It's not the path that leads to God. God's Word illuminates the correct path and how we are to walk on it. So focusing on His law gives us the direction that we need to salvation and to eternal life in His coming kingdom. So God gives us a focus to open our eyes to see the wondrous promise that His ways provide, and help us to turn aside from the distractions of this world, We have to draw close. We have to ask for His help that we may peer more deeply into His law to gain a better understanding and to live by it more fully. God directs our paths and He leads our way like a lamp in a dark night. If we abide by His directions, we will arrive safely at the destination that He has set before us. We strive to reach His kingdom. Psalm 119 is a treasure trove that celebrates God's law and shows us how focusing on that law helps us to fully interweave that law into our own lives, so that we are on the one and only path that leads to true life.